Again, I want to welcome all of you here today and to our service. And you know that today is a special day for all of us here at Old Paths Baptist Church. In the last year of our church, we have just had so many people that have gotten saved or have come in and just really been part of our ministry. It's just kind of overwhelming that how many people the Lord just keeps bringing in. We've got some 18 people today that we're going to baptize, and we're really excited about that. And I know that as we've already recognized you, your friends and family are here today, and we're excited about that. And, you know, and first off, what I want to do is I want to put what we're going to do today into an understandable context, format, however you want to describe it. Because the reason for that is baptism is without a doubt one of the most confusing issues that people believe or hold beliefs on today. It's incredible. And many times, you know, people get the complete wrong idea about baptism, and they're taught wrong and about it. And it's been that way all down through church history. I've been in the ministry over 50 years, and I'm telling you, there's never a time when you don't have to deal with somebody and help them understand what the Bible says. And I know of no other issue anywhere in the religious circles that probably is more, you know, more hard to grasp and controversial than the idea of baptism. I mean, some churches, they sprinkle. Some churches we're here are going to immerse. Believe it or not, there's some churches that baptize you three times forward and two times backward. I'm not sure why they do that. Sometimes every time they find the word baptism in the Bible, they try to make it water, and that's not true. Some will call it a sacrament. Some will say that it's the way that you get saved and get to heaven by washing away your sins. Some will claim that, you know, that baptism is a two-point deal and you later get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and it completes the whole thing. Some baptize babies, some only baptize adults. And you'll notice today that we have adults and kids here today who are going to be baptized. And I want you to understand what we're doing today so you can go away with a better appreciation. Now, baptism, as I said, it's very confusing to most people. And honestly, you know, most people never get into the Bible to that depth to really figure out and find out what the Bible says. So this is not going to be some theological lesson today. But I want to talk to you about basically seven questions, and we'll go through them very quickly. Seven questions that I'm asked about people understanding baptism. And I just kind of want to walk you through from the Bible. This is not what our church just exclusively believes. It's not about what I believe. We take everything we do right back to the Word of God. And I would say that this is probably the seven most asked questions about the Bible that we get into. So if we could, let's go to the Lord in prayer for a moment, and then we'll get started. Father, we do thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus. We love you. We thank you for the folks that you brought into our church in the last year or so and how it keeps growing and what good people they are. And we thank you for the fact that so many are getting baptized today. We thank you, Father, for the friends and the family that are here today to support them. And may we go home today with a little better understanding of actually what we're doing today and more importantly, why we're doing it. So help us today, Lord. Help me to be clear. Help me to be, Lord, to make it very understandable that these good people who have come out today can better understand what their loved ones are about to partake in. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. For a sake we ask it. Amen. Now, the first thing I want to tell you is the fact that baptism from the Bible is an ordinance. And you're going to find that in the Bible, to New Testament Christianity, there are two ordinances. Now, in the Bible, an ordinance is a decree or a command that is given within a structure of law. And so when baptism being one of the ordinances, then it's given by the authority of Christ to the church to fulfill for the purpose that God intended it for it to fulfill. Now, the one ordinance is baptism. The other ordinance is the Lord's Supper. And when you understand what both of them represent, you can see better at a quick glance how it fits into Christ's church. The baptism deals with us recognizing Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. You're going to see that as we come through it today. So when he gave the ordinance of baptism to the church, and he's told the church to keep that ordinance and to fulfill it, he's showing the resurrection of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Christ. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Then the second ordinance is the Lord's Supper. We know it as communion. And in that one, it deals with Christ's crucifixion. You remember that the night that he was betrayed, he had him up in the upper room and he had the broken bread. This is my body, and drink the grape juice. This is my blood. And it's connected with the crucifixion of Christ. So both ordinances are connected with what Christ did for our salvation. One of them is the crucifixion, the Lord's Supper. The other one is the death, burial, and the resurrection. Without the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, Christianity is powerless. That's what gave Christianity its power, is the fact that he did what no other man could do. He came up out of the grave. And so these two represent the two aspects of Christianity dealing with the resurrection of Christ and his crucifixion. So that's the first thing I want you to understand. Now the second thing, what does baptism really do? What's its fundamental purpose? And of course, when you get baptized, you'll find that it's a manifestation of something. The definitive verse in the Bible on baptism is found in John chapter 1, verse 31. I always like to give my people definitive verses, verses that you can go through that in one verse will define whatever the subject is. And for baptism, it's John chapter 1, verse 31. And here's what he said. And this is John the Baptist speaking. And he says this. And I knew him, talking about Christ. I knew him not, talking about Christ, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I come baptizing with water. And that verse right there shows us the real purpose of baptism. And that real purpose of baptism is that it manifests something to somebody. So here in John chapter 1, verse 31, Christ was showing up with John the Baptist down at the river, and he was being baptized, as the verse says, to manifest himself to the nation of Israel as their Messiah. You and I, in the New Testament church, we get baptized to manifest something too, but not the same thing that Christ manifested. He came to the nation of Israel as their Messiah. His baptism by John manifested him to his nation. This baptism of these folks are going to do today is about manifesting something, but it's not to Israel. It's manifesting to the people around them today that they have truly been born again and saved, and it's a public showing of their manifestation to the world that they truly have trusted Christ as their own personal Savior. So in both cases, baptism will always manifest something. With Christ, it was his Messiahship to Israel. To the folks today, it's to you here, people here, your family and friends, our people, and anybody in the world. And you might say, well, you know, how could you say the world? You're down here in a bomb shelter someplace that, you know, with a few people. No. We're on YouTube this morning, and we have probably around 1,500 followers on YouTube from all around the world. We're here this morning at 11:20, but there's people in England that are watching us that it's 8 o'clock in the evening. There's people in other parts of the world. We have them in Ireland. We have them in Africa. We have them in Mexico. We have them everywhere and, of course, all across the United States. And they're all tuning in today. So this baptism is not only a manifestation to you, it's to a public manifestation to the people out there, and we're really excited about that. Well, the third thing. Let's talk about baptism for salvation for a moment. And let me just say by starting out that baptism cannot save you. It cannot save anyone. And so many people believe today that because they got baptized, you know, that washed away their sins. The idea of you getting your sins washed away by the water in a public water system is not going to work. And of course, the Bible teaches us very clearly that it's through the shedding of Christ's blood on Calvary's cross. His death on the cross, Him dying and shedding His blood, that washes away your sin and my sin. The idea that water could wash away the stains of my sin, I needed something more powerful than water. I needed something bigger than Mr. Clean. You know, I got the Lord Jesus Christ, and His blood on the cross had enough power in it, and His death, His sacrifice, had enough power in it to not only wash away my sins, but the sins of the whole world. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." It was the blood of Christ that washes away our sin. He says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." So we need to understand that when baptism manifests something, it never saves us. It's a manifestation of the one that died for us that can save us. And that's what you need to understand. You know, I'm not a very intelligent individual. My claim to fame is I tell everybody I'm the fastest one in the slow class. But I've got a little bit of common sense. And, you know, I thought to myself, you know, if salvation was truly through these people getting baptized today or anybody getting baptized, then I would bring up the point, then why did Christ have to die? Why did He have to come down, go through the tremendous suffering and agony on the cross? Nails in His hands and His feet, a spear in His side, His back ripped with whips. Why did He have to go through all of that if baptism is the mode for salvation? He just would have said, get baptized. And that would have been the way. But you see, the reason why He came down and died is because baptism cannot save you. And in fact, you'll find in John chapter 4, verse 2, that it tells us that Jesus Christ never baptized anybody. I mean, all through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John in His public ministry, the woman at the well, Lazarus, all these people, they get saved by His presence. But the Bible's very clear to let us know that He never baptized anybody. His disciples did. So if baptism was the mode of salvation, then Jesus never saved anybody because He never baptized anybody. And this is a little thing about the Bible and the way that it does. You'll notice that there's some things that Jesus does or doesn't do or says or doesn't say that really are keys. You know, when it came to His mother, Mary, He never called her mother. He always called her woman. There isn't one place in the Bible when Jesus is talking directly to her that He calls her mother. He always calls her woman. And people maybe don't catch that, but years ago I saw that what He wanted to do is He didn't want to give anybody a license down the road that would take Mary, who was a good woman, but she was a sinner just like we all are, and make her the mother of God. So He chose not to call her mother, so nobody, even though people have, nobody could use Him as the text to say Jesus called her mother. He always called her woman. He did the same thing with baptism. He chose not to baptize anybody because He didn't want to give license to somebody down the road saying, well, baptism is salvation because Jesus baptized people. So He abstained from that. And I'm telling you right now, it's a thing where baptism is like a wedding ring. You put on a wedding ring when you get married, not because it makes you married, but it shows the world that you are married. Baptism doesn't save you, but it shows the world that you are saved. And honestly, there is no one anywhere in the Bible who ever got baptized in a New Testament church for salvation. It simply did not happen. So the vital thing I want you to understand, that these people today that are getting baptized, they're not getting baptized to be saved. They have already been saved, and baptism now is the identification with that. Well, let's look at the fourth thing, and we'll work through this. So now, if baptism doesn't save you, what does it represent to God? And I think this is important. You know, we saw already that it's a manifestation of something. We saw and talked about it being one of the ordinances in the Bible. There'd be two. And, you know, that Jesus, that baptism represents to God, you know, our acceptance of his death, burial, and resurrection. So you'll hear Danny say in just a little bit when he's up here doing the baptism, he'll put the person there, and we go through this with everybody because people kind of freak out sometimes in the water. And so you make them feel comfortable. It's nice and warm in there. We have some little fish going around in there to make it feel comfortable for you. And so he'll take that person and he'll ask them if they have been saved. And they'll say, yes, I have. And so then he'll take them and we always let them hold their own nose because people freak out when you try to grab their nose. I never know how much pressure to put on your nose. And after two or three nosebleeds in the baptistry, I gave up on doing it myself and I'll let them hold it. And we grab, and here's what he says. He says, after he asked them if they have been saved, he says, buried in the likeness of his Jesus' death. And he puts them under the water. And then he brings them out and he'll say, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. You see, it's a picture. It's a picture of what Christ did for us. And when we manifest that to the world by being baptized, we're showing people outwardly what has actually taken place inwardly. And it's a figure, it's a picture. And we already showed you that it manifests that you have been saved by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, is simply this. Jesus died, was buried, and then rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So when we take somebody and put them down and bring them back up, that's what the picture is. He says over there in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, and this is the good verse. Talking about baptism, listen very carefully. He says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not, and then you have parentheses here. Not putting away the filth of the flesh. You see, that would be salvation through baptism. He's clearly telling you that baptism is a picture, but it's not putting away the filth of the flesh that you need to get saved. But the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who was gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. He clearly tells you that it's a picture. It's a figure. Not of you getting actually saved, but because you are saved, it's a picture of the resurrection of Christ. And that's what it means and represents to God. Now, we ask the question next that I'm asked many times, who should be baptized? And why don't we baptize babies? I mean, you're going to see up here today some of our young kids. You're going to see Brady. You're going to see Jonathan. You're going to see Sophia. You're going to see Landon. You're going to see some little guys and gals up here. But you're not going to see any babies. And, you know, I get asked from time to time, why don't we baptize babies? Okay, well, let me explain it to you. First of all, in the Bible, there's what we call the age of accountability. And that age of accountability is, and every kid is different. No kid is the same. But when a kid is a baby or up to a point to they hit that age of accountability, and the age of accountability is when that kid now understands right from wrong. The Bible's very clear in Romans 7 and also Romans 4 and also in Romans 5 that when a baby or a young child does not know right from wrong, they're not accountable to the law and the law is not imputed to them. God does not impute sin to them. They're what we call under the blood of Christ. So if a baby dies, that baby goes to heaven, gets a free ticket. If a little child dies under the age of accountability, they go to heaven. They're under the blood of Christ. Now, I say that every child is different. This is the parents' job to be able to work with their kid, help them as they understand the Bible, and you're going to find that if you come to church and you're involved in church, through the Sunday school, through your dealing with your child, at some point they're start going to ask about this. They're going to see people get saved in our church, and they're going to want to do it too. They're going to have an older brother or sister get saved, and they're going to want to do it too. This is where the parent's job is to make sure that that child completely understands that you don't get saved because your big brother or big sister got saved. You don't get saved because somebody else in the church got saved. You don't get saved because you heard Pastor Bob preach a message on heaven and hell, and you want to go to heaven with your mom and dad. That's not the reason you get saved. They need to understand that the reason they got saved is because they understood that they had a personal sin debt to God. It had nothing to do with mom and dad, nothing to do with brother and sister. It had to simply deal with the fact that they as an individual now have come to the age of accountability, and now they are accountable to the law of God. And as the Bible says, because Adam sinned, death passed upon all men, and now they have, as Paul said, I was alive once without the law, but when this commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And now it's a time where mom and dad sit down with them, help them understand and walk them through. These little guys that are getting baptized today, their moms and dads have walked them through this. It's not, they understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. And so in the Bible, again, you'll find that there's never, ever, 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 ever been a baby baptized anywhere in the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament. It comes to the point when a person comes to that age of accountability, that's when they need to be saved. And then once they get saved, they need to be baptized. We have adults that come to our church that were never saved, and they're in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and they've never trusted Christ as their own personal Savior. And they'll come to a church, or somebody will work with them, or somebody will meet them and talk to them, like the guys at the street ministry last night down there when they were preaching on the street. And they meet a guy, they talk to him, he sees his need, and then they show him how to become a Christian, and it goes from there. We have them come in like that all the time. So, who should be baptized? Anybody who is over the age of accountability, who trusts Christ, who understands that they're a sinner, no matter what age they are, once they hit that age, and they trust Christ as their own personal Savior, now they need to be baptized. They need to manifest to the world outwardly what has taken place inwardly in their heart. In the book of Acts, which is the beginning of church history, by the way, the start of the church, every saved man and woman did three things. And you'll find that they come all the way from early Acts on up all the way through. Every man and woman, adult that got saved, they did three things. After they were saved, the first thing they did is they got baptized. The second thing they did is they identified and joined a New Testament local church, whether it be the church at Antioch or the church at Ephesus, wherever it was. And then the third thing they did, they identified with that church and they started a ministry to serve the Lord with what he's done. So that is who should be baptized. Now, let's look at the sixth thing. If baptism doesn't save me, now I understand what it represents to God, but what does it represent to me personally? Now, we've already seen a couple of things here. When Jesus got baptized, he was manifesting himself to the nation of Israel, John 1:31. We've seen that. And his baptism now was the start of his public ministry to the nation of Israel. And baptism for the believer today will be the first act of obedience that you follow after you get saved, that is an answer to a good conscience toward God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. I already gave you that. So, as Christ, when we get baptized, we too now manifest what has happened to us publicly. And then we too, just as Christ, he manifested himself to Israel, we manifest ourselves to the world around us today. But then both of us begin our public ministry of serving the Lord Jesus Christ, telling others what Christ has done for them. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 is a very key verse around here in this church. It says, He hath begun a good work in you and will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That's what He does. When you got saved, God began a good work in your life. The next step is baptism. And then when you get baptized and you manifest yourself as a good conscience toward God to the world, then you start your public ministry. And that's what these folks are doing here today when they get baptized. Now, let's look at the last thing. So let's talk about the mode of baptism for a moment and why. Now, this becomes very confusing to people, and you know, and I understand that. And fundamentally, when it comes to circles of religion, there's two basic forms of baptism. You have people who sprinkle, and then you have people who immerse. Maybe now, as I have said, and again, let's just rely on our common sense for a moment. We now know from the Bible that baptism is a picture of somebody's death, somebody's burial, and somebody's resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've done many, many, many funerals. You've been to many, many, many funerals, and you know that in a funeral, when somebody is dead, you don't stand them up in a corner and throw dirt in their face. You put them under. They go in the ground, just like Christ did. They go under. And it's the thing where you see, again, nowhere in the Bible is anybody ever sprinkled. Nowhere. Nowhere in the Bible, in Old Testament or New Testament, is anybody ever sprinkled for baptism. When John the Baptist baptized, he did it in a river. He could have did it by a well. He could have did it with a bottle of water from Quick Trip. He could have done it anyway if it was sprinkling. He needed to have a river. Why a river? Because a river has a lot of water in it. When Jesus was baptized, he was baptized in a river. And, you know, the word baptize itself means to dip, to put down, not sprinkle. And in Mark chapter 1, verses 7 through 11, John baptized Jesus, and verse 10 says that he comes down in the water and he comes up out of the water. There was no sprinkling involved. And of course, this is the picture, up and out. He's immersed, like we're going to do today. We're going to take those people and we're going to stand them there and then we're going to put them down, picture his death, and bring them up. Now, in Acts chapter 8, you have another great example. And this is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And you know maybe the story how that Philip's down in Samaria, he's having a great revival, and God pulls him out and sends him on the backside of the Gaza desert to an Ethiopian eunuch. And that eunuch has been traveling in the desert, and somebody gave him a copy of the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53, which actually talks about Christ's death and resurrection and his burial. And he's sitting on that chariot reading it. And the Holy Spirit of God says to Philip, this guy needs to get saved, and I've given him the gospel through that message. Now, you go talk to him. And so Philip goes up and talks to him, and they get into a conversation, and the Bible says that Philip takes that Isaiah 53 and begins to preach to him Jesus. He tells him about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. The Ethiopian eunuch gets saved. He trusts Christ as his own personal Savior. So Philip's riding along with him, you know, and they're going someplace, and they're obviously talking, and they come up on an, I guess it was an oasis, but it's a large body of water. And evidently, Philip is explaining to him about salvation and baptism, and then they come up here, and the eunuch says, hey, look, Philip, here's a whole big bunch of water, much water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? You know what Philip said? He says, I'll tell you what hinders you from being baptized. You have to know for sure you're saved. And the Ethiopian replies, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the Bible says that Philip takes him out of that chariot. They go down into the water. He puts him under the water, and he brings him back up out of the water. He immersed him. And the immersion is a picture, again, of a death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And, hey, you're telling me that they're in the desert? They're there without any water, no canteens, no water jugs, no nothing with water, that if he had to sprinkle him, he needed much water. No, it's a picture that baptism has to be by immersion because of what it represents. the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So today, these people here before you all have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. This day officially will be the start of their public ministry within this church, no matter how old they are. And we've got little guys like those up there that give their testimonies, that they teach the Bible. This is the beginning for them. Even though many of them have already been doing that, this is the official start, just like it was with Christ. And this will be the start of their public ministry. And a picture or a likeness of the new life that they have now in Christ because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Christ was buried. He died, he was buried, he rose again the third day, and they're showing you the picture of that today as they be baptized. Now, Danny, as I said, in just a few moments, and you guys want to come on down here and get lined up. I think Danny's already back there, and I think we got people back there that's going to, we got a lifeguard there that's going to help. Now, just so you know, what's going to happen, oh, look at this. This is great, man. I mean, this is just great. Now, you'll see... Yeah, you'll see some of the older guys there like Jimmy and Zach. And here's what we do. We allow dads, if they want to go down in and be part of the baptism, we allow that. Both Jim and Zach are pastors here. They're going to baptize their own kids. But here's what's going to happen. Danny's going to get them down in the water, and he's going to ask them for sure if they know they have been saved. And when they give a profession of faith, then he's going to basically say to them, well, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you, my brother or my sister, or whoever you're, male or female, buried in the likeness of Jesus' death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And you're going to see today that this will be the first public witness that they have been changed on the inside and now on the outside. So we're going to do the ladies first. So if you want to come up and get a picture, as I said, feel free. Come on up here. Just get right here and take whatever pictures you want. And then I'll be back here when Danny's done and we'll close out. And then we'll be out of here and you can go celebrate today. So, Danny, take it away. Let me just say I thank you for being here today. We're going to close in prayer. We're a half hour early on getting out of church today. Don't get used to that. And next week we'll be back again. And here again, now don't forget, if you're visiting or you know who you are, go to the back of the bookstore. If you don't feel shy about that, I'll help you. Somebody else will help you. And you know, and on this too, if you're here this morning and you heard what I said, kind of a glorified plan of salvation of what Christ has done for you. If you're here this morning and you want to know for sure your sins can be forgiven, come and talk to me. I'll be around for a while, and I'll be glad to have someone open up a Bible. If you're a lady, one of our ladies. If you're a guy, one of our guys. Show you how you know your sins can be forgiven. And thank you for being here today. We love you very much. And let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. And make your way back to the bookstore. Visit all you want. And I know many of you have plans today, so enjoy your day together. And we love you very much. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the family, the friends, and our people of our church that are here today. And Lord, this has been a great time, a time where we are just so thankful for all the people that you brought into our church. And Lord, it's so easy to see why these kids are such good kids, because getting to meet the parents today, the parents are good parents, and they've done what's right with their kids. And I appreciate that, Lord, and thank you for the fact that that we have a small part of their children's lives, no matter what age they are. Lord, may this be the beginning of a relationship with them and friendship with them, that they know they're always welcome here, and that whatever we do, whatever activities, whatever church service, whatever, or if they ever need my services, that they can feel free to call upon me and I'll be there for them. We love you. We thank you for today, and ask the rest of this day the blessings of Christ. In Jesus' name, for his sake we ask it. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you for being here today.